one point in this. If we all could learn to be one-pointed, we would solve all of the desires of our heart, no matter what they are, no matter what desire we have in our heart. If we learn to be one-pointed, we would have it. I am so amused how Ingeborg comes to me and she says, yeah, you didn't buy me everything I wanted from Shangri-La. You didn't get me this. You didn't get me that. You didn't get me the other thing. And you know, if Ingeborg had just come to me and said, hey, you did buy me everything I wanted. By the way, there's something else I'd like, you know. I'd like to have a nice new hose over there that would be just so great to water with. Hey, go for it, babe. You didn't buy me anything. You didn't buy me. You didn't get this. I'll go jump in a lake. If you don't notice when I buy these things, I'm not going to buy the things for you anymore. I'm not going to get the things. She wanted three or four little fittings, you know, to put the hose together. She wanted this and that. And we got those little things for her. And kind of, you know, we're so one-pointed on what doesn't work. We're so one-pointed on the past that we're so blind to see how to work the present. Now, how do you work the present? You want something from me. So you come up to me and you say, Herb, you never bought me anything. You never got me this here. You didn't get me that. Hey, we'll continue the trend. We'll continue the trend of not getting you, not getting you, not getting you. But if your name is Howard Byerly, you would be a master a teacher. Howie goes up to Pop and he says, Pop, you know, I like sitting by you. You're fun. And Pop's not fun. So then he sits by Pop and he says, will you read to me? And Pop says, you all right. So he reads to him. He says, Dad, Pop, whatever he calls him, I like you. It's fun to be with you. You're a nice guy. And he snuggles in and he's quiet, you know. Then he waits for maybe 5 minutes, you know. And after 5 minutes of the snuggle and the quietness and Pop getting sort of, you know, maudlin about it, then he says, Pop, I know you never gave anybody a motorcycle. You never allowed the kids to have motorcycles. But he says, how about you and me, you know? We should have a motorcycle, you know. They're, Junior's away now, and Ray's away, and the girls don't care. Why don't we have a motorcycle? Pop says, well, you know, he's 16. Pop says, well, you know, I guess it would be good training for you. So he knows he's on the right battlefield. He knows he's working the field real well. Well, he doesn't instantly say, let's do it. He takes maybe three or four more sittings like that. 16, you know. And my dad has never had any of us, from the time we were 8 or 9, sit on his lap. You know, after that time, we were too big for that sort of thing, you know. But here he is, Mark, Howie, the little shrimp, you know. And he just, fandangles it at him. He's one-pointed. He knows what he wants. He knows how the program has to be conducted. He knows how he has to move from step to step to get it. And he does it. Now, you want things for the Shangri-La. And so you come and complain that you never get anything. And I say, that's good. You don't deserve it. If you were to come to me and say, oh, you make things so nice at the Shangri-La. Every time I turn around and need anything, you just always make sure I have it. Thanks a lot, Herb. And don't ask for anything. Don't ask for anything. Just say, thanks a lot, thanks a lot. And do that 2 or 3 times, you know. And then you come up and you say, by the way, I need to have a screwdriver over to Shangri-La. And I say, Ingeborg, you should have your own set of screwdrivers over there of all the sizes. Okay, you know. You don't say no. If you say no, I'll say, pickle, you know. Go steal one someplace, you know. Take one out of the other workbench, if that's all it means to you. But if you're really cool, and you really make me feel like I'm doing something nice for you, instead of like you're sort of wheedling it out of me. But if you just come across as a master, you know, as a master con artist, you know, a master, you like that, yeah. But that's what it is, and that's fine. We call a spade. But what do you think Snuggles is doing? Snuggles is the master of the masters of the con artist. He comes up here and lays on his back and snuggles with you and plays with you and does everything. And then when the food is there, boom, he's right there and he's got it before any of the other dogs know anything about it. He's a master con artist. He is terrific. He really knows what he's doing. But does he get what he wants? Bitter?
No.
Love? I mean, Snuggles, whatever his name is, he doesn't get what he wants?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. Who did you say no about? And be careful. If it's you, you got a problem. Now, have I ever really turned you down on anything you've ever asked me?
No, you made the proposal, and that stopped the proposal.
What was the proposal?
To get this things to wind up the and then came.
You mean just to wind up the hoses?
Yes.
And what?
And then came to Stefan, and then.
Oh, I get blamed for something you couldn't carry through with Stefan. Oh, so now look, how old are you? You're 16 already, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Don't you know that once you get approval, then the next step is the easiest step? You just say, okay, I appreciate being able to have that. Now, how do I go about getting it, you know? And I said, well, just go tell Stefan. And Stefan might not agree to that. Of course, let's look at it more realistically. Does Ingeborg have the attitude that Stefan wouldn't agree? Did you go there with the attitude? See, you shake your head yes. You went there with the attitude that Stefan might not agree. So therefore, you lost your battle before you even started the war, you know? You should have just gone to Stefan and say, oh boy, Herb just said that we could have these roll-up things for my hoses over there. That's going to make it so nice. They have all kinds of things there. Can I go and choose the one that I'd like to have? Because it'd be just so much fun. And, oh, Stefan, you're just so wonderful. And Stefan, can the guy go in town with you? You know, or, you know, and Stefan say, my gosh, my gosh, my gosh, you know. I'll take you in special. But if you go to Stefan or anybody, and you say, well, I know you're not going to let me have it. You know, you never let me have anything that I want anyhow, and I can't have it. You're not going to get it because you're one-pointed. You're very one-pointed. All of you are very one-pointed. And you get what you think you're going to get, and you don't get what you think you're not going to get. That's being one-pointed, too. Anyhow, yesterday a young man was here, and his father made the sly comment, well, he's got to redo some classes in summer school. He's been doing it every year now for a couple of years, you know, redoing his classes in summer. And I said, you know, you're not stupid. And he looked at me, true, you know. But he was told that he's stupid. And I said, I've got a secret for you that'll help you to make wonderful grades in all your subjects. And he says, yeah, you know, he's heard that before. And I said, the secret is being one-pointed. If you can be absolutely one-pointed with all of your attention during your study time on your subject, within 2 weeks, you'll get an A. Now, see, that's foreseeable. 2 weeks, that's foreseeable. And it would take a little bit of time to getting used to being one-pointed. Well, when he starts being one-pointed, and he starts putting his attention, turning off that music, which would really grind up his brain while he's trying to put something else in there, he will come through fine. He'll come through fine. And these parents who let their children have boom boxes and let their children have headphones and music and stuff and playing it so loud you can hear it in the next county, you know, that destroys them from concentration. It'll destroy their ears, but that's okay. Their hearing, that's okay. But we don't want to destroy their concentration. If they have no ability to concentrate, they won't be able to have ability to concentrate in any other area. So, you say to the kid, all right now, I'm going to give you one lesson. And this lesson is how to to ride your new motorbike. And if you don't pass this test on how to ride your motorbike, you don't get to ride the motorbike. I'm going to give you the test. I'm going to teach you the information first. You're going to learn the information yourself out of the book. Then I'm going to give you the test. I'm just go through the book, randomly picking out points, and you've got to know the answers. If you can pass that test, you can ride that motorbike. You understand? Now, do you think there's any motivation there? Do you think that I'm conning him? You bet I'm conning him. I'm conning him right into what he wants to do. But he must read that book, and he must learn everything that's in that book. And the sooner he learns it, the sooner he rides the bike, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you think he's going to give me a little 1 point of concentration? 1 point of attention? Now, you see, you do that with other things, too. You say, okay, son, you want to go to the dance tonight? Okay, we're going to take lesson 3 in your course. And but first, I want you to take off all your clothes. Naked, stark naked, no socks even, no shorts. You say, what's this all about? So you take off all his clothes. You say, okay, now, let's go in your room. And now, let's study. Study. And you do not come out of your room until you're ready to take the test. And when you're ready to take the test, then you can have your clothes back. But you can't have your clothes until then. And your girlfriend is sitting downstairs in the living room waiting for you. You know, never really seen in front of your girlfriend, no clothes on, you know. So he reads the lesson, and it's amazing how his concentration is. It's amazing how his absorption of the information in that lesson is. And then, you know, 5 minutes, he comes rushing to the door. Hey, Dad, come here. So you go up there and you say, okay, son, you ready? Yeah. So give him the test. Perfect. Perfect. His mind just absorbed that because it was so important for him to get his clothes back to go on his date. But no clothes. Go naked if you want. A teenage kid go naked, you know, on a date. And he'd be quite a kid if he did that. But he learned fast. Concentration, 1 point of this. Now, are these stupid things I'm saying to you? Are these stupid ways of approaching this, of getting them to prove to themselves that they can learn, prove to themselves that they can really concentrate and be one-pointed and get the results? Is this so stupid? Mm-hmm. If it's not so stupid, why don't parents do that? Well, they might misunderstand, you know. There's nothing to misunderstand. Just do it. You see? So, if you want to be one-pointed on anything in your life, if you want to achieve any goal in your life, you achieve it. Now, do you want to play the piano here? Sit down at that piano and practice at it for 1 hour every day. Within a month, you'll be playing quite nicely. But you practice that piano with the headphones on. So only you hear the piano. And that means nothing else. No other music in the background. And you will learn that piano very nicely. You see, it's what is our motivation on these things. What do we want to accomplish? If we want to teach ourselves to be one-pointed, those are techniques to teach yourself to be one-pointed. If you want to accomplish anything in life, that's how you do it. Now, we're working with Ingeborg on learning to be one-pointed in saying, I am master of my world. Now, be careful how you shake your head yes. You can be master of your stinking world or your beautiful world, either way. And you can be master of your stinking world by continually having it be a stinking world. Herb, why are you using the word stinking? Because it is accomplishing things you don't want. Oh, they never let me do this. 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 You say that, and you are creating that as one of the criteria of your world. You know? It's so simple, but it's so definite. Now, Stephen wrote us a letter, and in the letter he says, let's rethink some of these principles that we're talking about. Let's rethink them, let's rethink them. And then he just sent in a fax of his article, and in the article he said, if I didn't have these principles, I wouldn't be where I am today. If I didn't live by these principles, I wouldn't be the successful spokesperson that I am. If I didn't do this, if I didn't, you know, the very thing that he was complaining about just a short time before. But because we responded to him quickly on what he said before, not negatively, but very positively, he rethought what his attitude was. And obviously he had been talking to somebody who was giving him a hard time. He met Bob. And all you have to do is meet a Bob who is a very sincere person, but who asks very intelligent questions about your belief. He says, how can you say you're non-judgmental when you're judgmental about being non-judgmental? You know, I mean, that's like kicking you right in the teeth. But it's right. Now, truly, it's not right. But if you're going to be academic about it, if you're going to be logical about it and reasonable about it, then, of course, he's correct. But if you're just saying non-judgmental, I don't judge things about other people. I don't judge things about myself. I take things as they are, and I appreciate things as they are, and then I enjoy life. Well, you see, that's true, too. Now, he was being the devil's advocate, and he wasn't being unkindly the devil's advocate. He was just thinking, he's a very brilliant man. He was just thinking, now, okay, I wonder what they really mean by this. If they can make a statement like this, they should have something to back it up. If they can make these points, untouchability, the very point that you say untouchable means that you're touchable. Even when you say you're untouchable, what are you untouchable about, you know? And in fact, his statements are correct, except if we were to worry about that aspect of it, we'd just stop living, you know? Because as long as you're human, you're entering into these areas. But what did I say about the young man being one-pointed? Did that seem logical this morning? All right. Could he have knocked that too? He could have knocked that. He says, the mind doesn't have the capacity to be one-pointed, because every second you're thinking a new thought. You're thinking new ideas. Every second you're going away from your major premise, see? And that's all good, but the principle works. The principle works. And if Ingeborg's going to tell us that these things don't work, then it's not going to work for her. If she goes around and says they're going to work, our little Pollyanna case, she went around acting harmonious with everybody because she was harmonious. She didn't care if the rest of the world was harmonious or not. She was harmonious. She just was a happy girl. And so everybody else was, too. Because we saw everything through her eyes, you know? And when we see everything through harmonious eyes, what can it be but harmonious? It's wonderful. So let's practice this one-pointedness stuff and determine what it is we really want. I gave you all an opportunity to learn guitar, bought beautiful guitars for all of you, and gave them to you, and how many of you came away with a desire to learn and play the guitar? None. Irene played the guitar before she came here, and she played after she left. But did you notice her playing after she left was no better than when she first came here? Her playing was good when she came here, okay? She had a nice feeling for it, but she didn't improve. And you know why she didn't improve? She didn't put one-pointed attention on it. She played the scales, she played the little phones like you all did, but you didn't put one-pointed attention on them. If I could have taken you and bound you up with ropes and just let your arms be free and have you play the guitar for half an hour, an hour, poof, you'd be great. But no, You wouldn't give me the attention. You wouldn't give yourself the attention. But you can. So, practice one-pointedness and experience all the miracles that you would like to have in life. I love you.